This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Tough one for the Nuggets last night. We'll get into that. Came down to free throws. So a bummer of a finale. A Hall of Fame snub of all time. Wow. A lot of people upset with this. Let's try to make sense of it, if we can. Also, Sean Payton kind of cleaning house with the coaching staff yesterday after we got off the air. Some big news hit. Sean Keeler will join us from the Denver Post. We got top stories of the day. Nuggets talk, Broncos talk, all of it. The whole show starts now. Denver loses 109-107 last night. It was almost another unlikely win for the Mile High crew. Without, of course, Nikola Jokic, no Aaron Gordon, no Cam Johnson, no Christian Brown. It's a depleted roster. I don't know what to make of it. Haven't even felt comfortable doing my player prop picks this year because I honestly don't know who's going to be playing and how many minutes they're going to be playing. But Jamal Murray was off last night. He ended up with 24 points. He was 0 for 6 from the three-point line. And this is the key stat here, 10 of 15 from the free throw line. That was huge because you have a situation where you're down three with 16 seconds left. Jamal takes a three, misses, gets fouled, makes the first, misses the second, makes the third. You're down one. You foul with like 2 seconds left. Detroit makes both free throws. It's a three-point game again. Denver gets the ball inbounds. Jamal quickly rolls around the corner, throws up another three, and is fouled again. This time he missed the first, made the second, and then missed the third on purpose to try to get the rebound. And it's hard to put it on one player, but when you have those opportunities right in front of you, especially to tie the game, send it to a couple of times, try to send this thing to overtime, it's hard to ignore. And it's hard to ignore 0 for 6 from 3 and 10 of 15 from the free throw line. Jamal Murray is a very good free throw shooter. I mean, he's one of the best. And what is he shooting? He's shooting 87.6% from the free throw line. Here's Jamal after the game. He definitely put the blame on himself.
I just got to be better. You know, I had to go an opportunity there twice. Once to redeem myself. This wasn't my night. I just got to be better. I got to be better just all throughout the game, not just miss free throws. I just, you know, wasn't I didn't play well today. Stats say otherwise, but I didn't feel like I had a major impact on the game. I didn't take advantage of my opportunities. I played too slow. I mean, we got all the excuses in the world, but I just got to be better. So
that team is extremely physical. Just battling that, and you guys have gone through this like period of time where you played so hard over the course. Do you feel it kind of wearing on you guys just as a locker room?
No, I mean they play physical, but I mean it doesn't stop us from getting to open shots and getting down the lane and doing what we do. We just didn't make enough shots today.
All right, there's Jamal Murray. Obviously disappointed. And he says the stats tell otherwise. Yeah, 24 points is nice, but when you're 7 of 18 and you had 10 assists, that was nice too. He didn't have a ton of turnovers. Listen, this is a Detroit Pistons team. They're the best team in the East. Look at their turnaround. They were 14 and 68 two seasons ago. and they are now the number one seed as of right now in the Eastern Conference. In fact, they're kind of running away with it. They are 5.5 games ahead of the next in line, and that's the Boston Celtics. So this would have been a really unlikely win for Denver. It has been so hard to get a handle on this team. You have to be impressed with how they've battled through this. I mean, they're 9-6 now without Joker, which they could still finish up around .500 record without Joker. I mean, they could. You know, I think the schedule is kind of favors the Nuggets here in the next few, but the fact that they are still, I mean, they're third in the West, 31-16. They didn't, the bottom did not completely fall out on this team once Joker went down. And that's not even it, man. I mean, you've dealt with a good chunk of this month of January without four starters. I mean, I don't think it's being talked about enough what they've been able to do down that many starters. And then Jonas goes down like the first game without Joker. And he was back last night. I like his attitude. I like what he said last night. He said, hey, they asked him about Jamal Murray's game. He said, hey, if we lose, we lose together. If we win together. He's certainly bought in. You see him pumping up the crowd. He's like, he's screaming, let's go. He's definitely bought in. There was a lot of questions in the offseason as to whether or not he was going to be a team player or just have one foot out the door, want to get back overseas and play. But he, for the time being, he certainly bought in, and he has an increased role. He's been playing a lot of minutes once he got back. He played 31 minutes last night. I mean, it's hard to expect Joker going down when he's one of those guys that just doesn't do it. They do have a couple of conundrums on their hands, though. Spencer Jones is on a two-way contract. He only has four games remaining on that he can actually play. I believe it's four. So they're going to have to figure out what to do there. Obviously, any more money added is going to put you in that apron conversation. But he's been a big pleasant surprise for this team. 4 or 5 from the three-point line last night. Peyton Watson was off his game. He struggled mightily in this one, I thought. You know, as I'm watching this game, and I'm thinking, I'm looking at Jamal Murray, and I'm thinking about Joker, and how long do you have those guys together? Probably the duration of their contracts, and Joker probably signs the contract extension this offseason. But I guess when it comes to Peyton Watson, and you know, a lot of people are saying, screw the aprons, just lock him up. The question I have is Peyton Watson, do you see him being the future of this team? And some nights I feel like maybe that could be the case. Some nights I'm really shocked that I look down and I see 30 plus points from him. I think since Joker went down, he's averaging around 21 or 22. You're probably better off just riding it out this year and then, unfortunately, letting him go. So you have the Spencer Jones for the now. You have Peyton Watson for the pretty near future to figure out. And yeah, in retrospect, should they have spent the money on Watson over Christian Brown? Availability and stats would tell you they made the wrong decision. We have yet to really see Christian Brown play a ton under that new contract. So we're all just kind of waiting. You know, Joker's out warming up again last night. From my eyes, I see the videos that Denver Nuggets are putting out, DNVR Nuggets they're putting out, Denver Post, all that stuff. And, you know, from my eyes, he looks pretty good. But you want to be really careful. Because if you put him in before, like if this were the playoffs, he'd be playing. Same thing we kind of looked at with Michael Porter Jr. last year and Aaron Gordon. Probably Russell Westbrook. Those injuries that they sustained would probably have benched them for several games, maybe even several weeks. But they played through it, which was all the more, you know, all part of that magical run that they went on last year that fell short with a game 7 to OKC, the eventual champions. But you don't want to get to a situation where you force him back before the All-Star break and then he takes a nasty fall. Even though it's not likely because he's very durable, but you just don't want to mess with that knee. So there was a lot of talk that he was going to be good to go for the Detroit game. that has calmed way down to where, if he doesn't go for the Detroit game, then he'll go for the next one, which would be against Brooklyn on Thursday. That's quieted quite a bit. You know, I think there was probably some discussions. I don't think Joker cares about the MVP, but it's great for the Nuggets organization. And there was probably discussions of, hey, time's running out. You're going to get to the point where there's no wiggle room and probably not even mathematically possible to win the MVP because it's, 65 games or so? I think if he starts and plays every game from now on, he'd get to like 67 or 68 or something. It's just not worth the risk. He's won 3 MVPs, man. He was having a phenomenal year. His numbers before he went down were better than his other 3 MVP years. We just keep saying that about the dude. But without Joker, they've proven they can win games. Without Joker, can they win a best of 7 series? Let alone 4 of them. The answer is no. The answer is an obvious no. Now, I'll admit, I was wrong on this team. I thought without him, they're barely a play-in team, maybe worse. But you can't deny, even though it was a weird night for Jamal, you can't deny that Jamal Murray has been playing at an all-star level. You've had the others step up in a big way for this team. I thought Bruce Brown was pretty good last night. He's had some clunkers lately. But it's a masterful job from, I believe, a masterful job by DA. I mean, David Adelman has been, obviously he's been pressing the right buttons, getting these guys rallied. They had no business being in that game last night. There were several times that thing got beyond a 10-point game, and you thought, all right, here's the fizzle. They're going to start slowly falling away in this game, and it's going to end up being like a 14-point loss. But they just kept going. And that is, I don't know how it's happening. I'm watching this team, man, and I see Spencer Jones just go off suddenly for a few threes in a row. There's just a buy-in and a confidence that they have that's keeping them in these games, and you got to give the credit, obviously, to David Adelman, obviously to this roster, but Ben Tenzer and John Wallace for their ability to put this team together. That's why they're able to do this. It's been a mixture of coaching and a mixture of really good management skills early on, and we wondered how that was going to go with two dudes, who gets the final say. But through one offseason, the moves they've made allowed them to weather the worst imaginable storm that the Nuggets could face, and that's losing Joker. But at the same time, you do not want to put him in before he's ready. Look what happened with Aaron Gordon. You throw Aaron Gordon back out there, and a couple games later, he's now dealing with that right hamstring strain again. That's going to be the way it kind of goes for Gordon. You know, he is a high-flying player. He's a dunker. He moves. He defensively side to side, offensively up and down. His chance of getting hurt and his age now is much greater than a guy like Joker who doesn't play above the rim. He's not up and down a lot. He's not really side to side a lot. So there's maybe less risk there, but that's just, even if it's a 1% chance and you throw him back out there, you don't want to take it. Because if he goes down and suddenly he's out for another month, I don't know. I don't know how you can. I mean, there's a lot of basketball to be played, and all it takes is one or two bad weeks where you're stringing together loss after loss. Then you're suddenly in the sixth spot. You're suddenly in the seventh spot. I mean, they're not pulling away from anybody. The unfortunate part about all this is maybe the Nuggets could have crept pretty close to the Thunder. The Thunder are 38-10, Denver's 6.5 games behind them. I'd like to imagine that if Joker's in, Denver might be in that one spot. They might, because the Thunder have, you know, of their last, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games, they're 3-3 in their last 6. We didn't think that was a possibility to start the season. But here we are. And that's the part that kind of stings, but they're in third right now. They're a game and a half ahead of the Rockets. The Rockets are 28-16, Denver's 31-16. Now you got to take advantage of some of these games, though, coming up here, because I'm starting to wonder if they're going to go ahead and wait until after the All-Star break, which the final game before the break is February 11th against the Memphis Grizzlies. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more games. Obviously, he'd be out of the MVP conversation then, if that's the case, but they might do that. I was holding out hope that he'd be back by Sunday, February 1st, which could still happen. Based on all the noise and the positivity we were receiving over the weekend about him potentially playing against Detroit, I thought, okay, he's for sure going to be back. But you got two games coming up here back-to-back. You got Thursday and Friday night that I think, you don't say must win in an 82-game season, but both are struggling basketball teams. Brooklyn got you last time out. It would be nice to win those two. And then Sunday, it's still another half a week away. Does that give you enough time to throw out the Joker? Do you do that? And it might be the safe bet just waiting until February 19th. And that would, the first game back at that point would be against the Los Angeles Clippers. It sucks because the MVP thing, the rule that they put out for 65 games, I think it's only been 5 or 6 years. That was for load management, guys. The reason they put that in place was because they were tired of superstars taking random nights off for load management, yet still being in the running for the MVP conversation. And the best ability is availability. And the NBA finally did something right and said, no, you have to play 65 games. It wasn't for guys like Joker, who is probably begging the coaching staff every single game to put him out there. He's not Joel Embiid. He's not Kawhi Leonard. He's not one of those dudes that wants to sit out. So the rule was never designed for a guy like him. And I don't know. The NBA is not going to make any exceptions or anything like that. So, yeah, a chance at a fourth MVP, at least this season, probably going to go. Because, again, that's also assuming he's going to go the rest of the way. And you don't want him. You want him as fresh as possible when you get to the playoffs. So if you do get to the point where you've clinched whatever seed by early April, you feel comfortable giving him a break or two. Yes, Michael?
Who cares about the MVP? It's just an individual award. Who cares? You want him healthy.
People, NBA fan, yes, when it comes to that, who cares? But if you're asking like a general question, who cares about it? It's good for your organization, man. To be able
to have
it. It's
good for your organization. It's good for your legacy. But ultimately, what's best for your organization is having your best player fully healthy.
And nobody.
Let him come back when he's ready. And if he's ready by the time where he's eligible for an MVP, fine. But if he's not, then
that
fine.
Has to be this weekend.
You just want him healthy.
Yeah.
Don't hurry him along.
And Joker's definitely not one that's leading any kind of campaign saying, hey, I doubt he even knows the eligibility rules. I would imagine he doesn't even know.
He knows now that you've been saying it.
He's probably listening.
He listens to
the show.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I do have his shoes. Well, not his shoes. They're a bit smaller. But it's unfortunate because, again, the rule was never was not designed to punish a guy like Joker, who actually does need to be out for multiple games. But it is what it is. You're right. The most important thing is making sure he's ready to go. And you don't care because if you still probably want to hand pick a few games in March where he's not playing. And I know that's people hate to hear that, but it's the new NBA. And I've seen the Nuggets countless times in the playoffs, specifically talking about that Timberwolves series, where they just ran out of gas. They just ran out of steam. And you wondered if they didn't have to push so hard to get the seed that they ultimately finished with, are they better in the long run in the playoffs? Eastside Chris chiming in on the First Advantage text line. Brady, I heard yesterday the Nuggets were behind 5.5 games when Joker got injured. Yesterday they were still behind 5.5 behind just hold serve. Well, yeah, and it still seems unlikely to me. I didn't pick the Nuggets to beat Detroit last night. I didn't think they'd cover whatever it was. Was it a 7.5 or 8.5 point spread? Again, we're not just talking about Joker. We're talking about four starters and a key reserve have missed a good chunk of the month of January, and you're still in the same place you were when Joker went down. If that doesn't qualify, we're talking about qualifying, if that doesn't qualify David Adelman for coach of the year, I don't know what does. I know Cleveland's dealt with a lot of injuries too, but Joker means more to his team than I think any superstar means to their team. And that's up for debate, I'm sure. And maybe that was a better case to be made 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Because this year they're proving that they can at least stay above water while he's down. So asking my opinion, if Joker came to me today and I'm the man in charge and said, dude, doctors cleared me. I'm 100%. Well, as close to 100% as you can be. I'm good to go. I'm cleared. What decision would I make if that was the case? I don't care about the MVP either. He's already won three. And the rate he's going, if every year he just keeps getting better, there's probably at least one or two more in his future before he calls it a career. So I'm probably saying, hey, no, we're gonna go two more games here at least. I'd like to see him play against the Thunder. That would be fun. That's a big game. And especially if you can win these next two, that's a big game. But you don't want to risk the playoffs for the three seed. It's not ideal. You want to get the best seed. You want to avoid OKC for as long as possible. But if you push him back now to get the three seed and something happens in late February, even, because you know how it is. You put a guy back before they're technically ready. It might not be the first week or two, but there's just strain on that knee. And then there's strain on the other knee because you're favoring it. We've seen that happen a lot of times too. I'm not a doctor, but you've heard it. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, you were in it. Nobody thought you'd be in it against Detroit. Nobody thought you'd be 9-6 without Joker. That's good. It's something we need to be. I'll put my hand up. We need to be talking about that more. The bad for me, free throws killed you. Your best free throw shooter on the team had a chance. It's tough to make three in a row. It's tough. There's no excuse, though. Jamal's pissed. You can hear it in his voice. The ugly? Nah, you know me. I'm not a big ballot guy. You're either Hall of Fame or you're not. Bill Belichick, not a first ballot Hall of Famer? Am I missing something? I mean, you know what it is. It's Spygate and it's Bountygate. Wait, not Bountygate, that's Peyton. Which gate? Deflategate. Deflategate was more Brady, though. Belichick might not have even known that Brady was doing that.
It's the whole optics of it. So I understand why if I hated him more than I already do, I would keep him out. But I think it's just going to be one of those. It's a middle finger year. They'll let him in next year.
It's a middle finger. Yo, for sure. They're going to let him in next year.
Yeah, but it was like with Terrell Owens.
Yeah,
Terrell Owens was a
thing.
Six-year guy. Yep. They should have let him in 5 years, but because he had an attitude, they gave him that middle finger, said, you're not worthy.
They're going to do the same thing. You know they're going to do the same thing, Sean Payton.
Yeah, probably.
He could go win a Super Bowl next year. And he's not going to be a first ballot. The NFL doesn't, they just don't like him. They don't like the guy.
They'll put him in 7-8 years.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. He's not a first.
Why is Pat Bowlen? Why was Pat Bowlen not in like almost immediately?
Why are we allowed to have people that vote do that? You're making a point, your middle finger. He's cheated. Well, fine. Take the Super Bowl away that they allegedly gained tips from Bountygate or Spygate. I get my gates confused, man. Take a Super Bowl away. He's won six as a head coach. He's won two as a defensive coordinator. If that resume doesn't get you first ballot, then there's no such thing as first ballot head coach getting in.
Yeah.
And that also means, sorry, Broncos fans, Mike Shanahan's never going to get in. If Bill Belichick is not a first ballot Hall of Famer, then how can Mike Shanahan get into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's politics. This is a politics thing. I hated it when they did that to
so
T.O.
Are they gonna
and
wait,
I hate it now.
Are they going to wait for Tom Brady?
No, they won't.
He deflated the football. Well,
allegedly.
Yeah, but I guess Bountygate, I guess that was kind of proven, but they, it's not college.
They blamed it on a guy taping.
It's not college, though. They don't remove games. They didn't remove his championship. So it's there.
They'll want it.
You got to follow your own rules then. If you didn't think Bountygate was so severe that you didn't punish the organization with losses or a vacated Super Bowl trophy, then it doesn't matter. If you're telling me that you didn't do those things, then that Super Bowl counts just as much as any of the other Super Bowls he's won. Yeah, if you would have said it was so egregious and it really gave them the advantage, I don't even know what year that was. That whoever they beat in the Super Bowl that year, we're giving this team. Was it Philadelphia? I don't know.
I think Spygate was the year they lost. I think they lost that year.
Well, there you go. What are we doing? Is it the girlfriend thing? Is it the Robert Kraft relationship that went south? Because I know the NFL. I know they love the owners.
It's the Spygate thing. It's just politics. It's the optics of it. They'll let him in this next year.
Well, this is why the ballot thing is dumb. I know some people want some differentiation as far as in the Hall of Fame. Are you a first ballot guy? There's a section over here. And
Tom Brady will get in because he was with the Patriots
true.
For all those years.
And then he won one with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, he won with the Buccaneers. Now, the Buccaneers had good coaching staff, so you could argue that maybe they're saying it's all Tom Brady. Tom Brady was
maybe,
all of it.
Maybe they answered that question for us. Was it Bill Belichick or was it Tom Brady? I think the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay answered the question that it was more Tom Brady than it was Bill Belichick.
Well, Tom Brady went to a team that was already built.
Or is it more Josh McDaniels? Because look at Drake May.
I mean, yeah.
They're right back in it. When did Brady leave New England? 5-6 years ago? And I guess they're not right back in it, but they get the right coach, and then they bring back the offensive coordinator. You can say what you want about Josh McDaniels.
Terrible soulless
human
being.
He is a soulless human being, but he is a hell of an offensive coordinator.
He is.
One of the best. I don't know why he can't make it work as a head coach.
Because he just is soulless.
Faith says, heck, one of the voters who look like he's about 105 came out and said he couldn't remember if he voted for him or not. Well, they changed the rules. It used to just be yes or no. That's what I heard yesterday, that it used to just be you write yes or no. Isn't there a country song called Check Yes or No? They just say that. Now you have to actually write in. I'm going to go through that today. I want to go through that because it's a weird process now. But the fact that you don't have, there's a writer out there that chose somebody else over Belichick. He didn't get 80% or whatever. And I guess he talked about it too. We'll hit that more later on in the program. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. When we come back, let's talk a little NFL. Let's talk a little Broncos. Sean Payton doing some house cleaning yesterday, Mike. We missed a lot once we went off the air. A lot of decisions to be made for the Broncos. Some surprises, too. We'll talk about it. We'll be right back.
Games and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Paramore guy, Mike?
Not really, but I love Haley, what's her name's
voice?
Well,
she's the lead singer of Paramore.
Yeah.
So if you love her voice, then I would think you'd be...
I'm not overall Paramore, but I like her voice.
Okay. All right. Good that we got that one figured out. Lemons Heating and Cooling. Check those heaters. Check on them. Because we got through an easy December, man. It was nice. Michael was in short shorts running around here, man. He was sweating. But that's not the case now. We have plenty of cold days. My prediction based on nothing is we ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get cold. We're going to have snow. Lemons Heating and Cooling will take care of your heater. HVAC contractor in Greeley, they got free estimates available. LemonsHeatingandCooling.com. Okay, so Sean Payton and the Broncos announced some news yesterday. They've not only fired longtime lieutenant and OC Joe Lombardi, plus wide receiver coach Kerry Colbert, and cornerback coach Addison Lynch. That one kind of shocked me. Was the cornerback play bad this year? You also dealt with Sertan.
That's shocking.
Sertan was out for quite a bit. And you were... I just think removing anybody from your defensive side of the ball is not a great idea.
Were they saying they could play a lot better?
The DBs?
Yeah. I mean, they were pretty damn good. I mean, with a better coach... Maybe there's a better coach out there who could make them play better. I don't know, but they played really well.
It's odd to me. Joe Lombardi, though, is that's a scapegoat, right? Who's calling the plays?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Who's calling the plays? And you fired your offense. I guess it's just where my brain goes. Like, who's calling the plays?
And who's taking a long time to get those plays in? Oh, timeout.
Now Davis Webb is, hey, he might get he's got a couple of teams interested in him, Mike.
I say hire him.
I mean, you've got offensive coordinator positions, the Ravens, the Eagles, and the Giants, head coach position for the Las Vegas Raiders. Right now, it seems like it's going to come down to either him or Seattle's offensive coordinator, Clint Kubiak, who, if you'll remember, not long ago, his name was thrown around for the potential CSU job. Well, we said it, right? He's an NFL guy. He's not going to jump down a level. This guy's probably good enough where he could go be a head coach somewhere in the NFL. Davis Webb, can I ask the question, though, Mike? Why? I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but why is Davis Webb like a hot commodity right now? I mean, he started his coaching career on February 23rd of 2023. He was hired by the Broncos as their quarterback coach. He's been with them ever since. Played. He was with the Giants, the Bills, the Jets. Good mind for football. That's what you hear. But what does his resume tell you in his 3 years with the Broncos that would say, hey, that guy needs to be our OC?
Bo Nix?
I guess. And people... You know, I've already done my whole Bo Nix piece. I'm not out on the guy. I'm 100% in on the guy. And I guess you go and you allegedly reach for a quarterback in Bo. Got him, you know, way before maybe you should have, but the Broncos proved everybody wrong on that. That credit seems like it's going a lot to Davis Webb. Now the Broncos are going to, they make that move. Is that them? Is that Sean Payton saying, Davis, I got rid of everybody, man. Welcome to the club. You be my OC. Here's the thought. Sean Payton's what? 63? 64? Can you look at that situation and say, hey, stay on as the OC here. You'll have your quarterback. Sean's not going to coach for more than 62. He's not going to coach for more than 4 years, is he? Does he coach into his 70s?
He will coach into his 70s.
You think so?
You would miss it,
but is that a enticing offer to say, hey, be the OC and you'll take over when Sean Payton's done? If he's that good, he's not waiting for 4 years though. If
I've seen it happen
sought
before.
After, yeah, but
at University of Washington.
Okay,
I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to bring
Come
up
on.
A college.
Yeah, no,
but I've seen it happen where they flipped defensive coordinators because the defensive backs coach was such a hot commodity. They wanted to keep him there, And when Chris Peterson left, they hired him as the head coach. Like, they might be doing that.
Yeah,
might,
but if
they
Davis
might be
Webb
saying, we love this guy
is
so
already,
much.
I mean, the Raiders are interested in him being the head coach. Four other teams want him to be their OC. If he's that sought after three seasons with Russell Wilson and then Bo Nix, why would he wait around for Sean Payton to call it quits, man? I don't know if you hear the press conferences from Sean like I do, but that dude does not sound like he has any interest in calling it quits soon. He said Chris Brady was Lombardi, the sacrificial lamb for not getting the historical first down debacle, therefore promoting Davis so he wouldn't take the Vegas job. Also, looks like if VJ takes Arizona's job, we could get a compensatory pick. Yeah. Also, you kind of root for that. I mean, is Vance going to get the job now? What are their two openings left? Who is it? Arizona and the Raiders? And if it's not Arizona, it doesn't sound like Vance is the leader in the clubhouse for anything else. So if it's not the Cardinals, then Vance could be back, which would be kind of a nice bonus. George Payton and Sean Payton were kind of not on the same page on a very critical subject. We'll talk about that coming up next. We'll hear from George Payton on the wide receiver room, what he had to say at yesterday's eye-opening press conference. It's the whole show. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I like our young receivers, and if you draft a tree and your court and look toward, you've got a good mix of players, and we're always looking to add. We're always looking to improve in every position. Running back, I do the same. You know, I like the young backs we have. JK was a big hit here, and that was a big loss, you know, for our team, our offense, and just his leadership that he showed. So we'll look at everything. I think we have some young talent, and if we can add, you know, we will, and if we can upgrade, we will certainly.
All right, there's George Payton, general manager for the Broncos. He said he didn't think it was the receivers were really that big of a problem. Zach Stevens quote tweeted George Payton, "We like our receiving group. I don't think our receiving group held us back in this game." And he says he doesn't regret not making a big move for a receiver or playmaker this past year. And hey, I sided with him on that. My mind has changed, obviously. Sean Payton, though, according to Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, Sean Payton's quote says, "We dropped some passes. Again, felt like that was a problem all year." So kind of fascinating to hear the two sides. The Broncos were number two in the league in drop passes. They 43, number two the bad way. Jags led the league in drop passes with 45. The Broncos were right behind them, 43. You know who was third? The Chiefs with 30. So Denver and Jacksonville in the 40s, nobody else even got past 31 drops. And of those guys that kind of led that, Evan Engram was sixth in drops, Cortland Sutton seventh, and R.J. Harvey was 15th. So you had three guys in the top 15 in most drops.
Yeah, no bueno there.
No. So clearly that's an issue. 11:52 the time. We'll wrap up the show. Coming up next, don't go anywhere. First hour.
High school basketball is on. Northern Colorado's leader in preps. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, I meant wrap up the hour. Faith's like, what? It's two already? Yeah, I didn't mean the show. Although, sometimes 1 hour, we pack so much into it, it can feel like an entire show, Michael. So that's just how it goes sometimes. But we still got two more hours. We still got a lot to get to. Top stories of the day. We'll get into this Hall of Fame conversation. How the voting even works anymore. And do you have concerns about Bo's health in the future with that ankle? Sean Payton also had some revealing things to say about that yesterday, almost to the point where, like, yeah, we knew it was going to happen at some point. Whoa, wow. How bad was it then before?
Maybe he should stand outside in the sun a little more, get some vitamin D, maybe take some calcium supplements.
Let's remind me not to ask you doctor questions or health questions or anything related.
That helps your bones. Vitamin D and calcium.
I mean, he's a football player. He's outside all the time. I mean, they're in practice all the time. He's probably throwing footballs outside.
He might need more vitamin D.
I don't think so. Have you seen his Instagram there? He's always out. If he's not playing football, he's outside.
He lived in Oregon for years.
Well, yeah, that's been a while now. He probably got outside. So, all right, top story of the day. My clock is all over the place here. Top stories of the day coming up, and we'll get into it. The Hall of Fame conversation. Was it all a joke? We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.